With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
You're listening to the Tennis.com podcast, and here's your host, Ed McGrogan.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Tennis.com podcast. I'm Ed McGrogan here speaking with seven-time Grand Slam singles champion Mats Wilander. Mats, thank you again for joining us and helping talk about the Power Share series.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you for having me on.
Sure. You're not playing actually until about mid-November, two events in Tampa and Atlanta. But I know you have quite a bit going on. You have your Wilander on wheels. How often do you practice and play? Do you still hit every day? Just kind of wanted to get an idea of how much really you're still playing on and off the series.
Yeah, I certainly don't hit every day, but with Wilander on wheels, we do typically about between 90 and 100 days a year, and that's anywhere between 3 and 5 hours of tennis a day. So when you put all those days together, I do feel like every time I step on the court these days, I have played enough tennis. So I don't think that's a problem. I think that I will practice, obviously, very hard the 3-4 days before so that you're ready for it. But, yeah, I feel like I'm in really good shape these days.
And how is Wilander on wheels? How long has that been going on for people who don't know?
Yeah, we started Wilander on wheels in November 3 years ago. We started with a little tour of Las Vegas, and since then we have done an average of 90 days on the road, and some clubs we've gone back to, but we've been to nearly 200, a little bit over 200 different tennis clubs in America and Canada. So it's been really exciting, and it's going very well.
And I know also that I think you've done quite a bit as well on the media side of tennis as well. After the long playing career you had, you did some work for Eurosport. I think I saw you in and out of the press room at the U.S. Open. I know you help out with us on Tennis 1530. How have you enjoyed kind of being on the other side of things, especially being, a player for so long?
Yeah, I like it. I think it's great fun. I still work for Eurosport. I still write articles in French sports newspaper, L'Équipe, and I enjoy it. I think going to the majors and be able to talk about it, watch it, commentate the guys and the women. I think it's most probably the closest you get to the feeling of that feeling of being playing in majors. I mean, there's one thing to play competitive tennis in front of people, and it's another thing to see these guys go at it when you know that this is pretty much about life and death, not literally, but that's how important it is to these guys. So I find it very exciting.
Yeah, well, an event that I somehow doubt will be life and death, but should be good nonetheless, is when you play in November. You're gonna play Courier to start off in Tampa. You'll play John McEnroe in Atlanta. Between the two guys, did you enjoy playing one of those two more than the other, both in the past when you were playing and perhaps, upcoming? What do you think about when you play each of these two, great players?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I have to say I enjoy playing all of these guys, obviously, as much. But much more history between me and John McEnroe. We played, I don't know how many times, but I guess over the years we must probably play closer to 50 times. On the actual tour, I think we played somewhere between 15 and 20, and we're pretty good, pretty even in the records, obviously, I consider him being one of the great players of all time. Anytime you play him, it's exciting to say the least. The tennis is great. He's got unbelievable hands. The competitiveness is still there, and he gets the crowd involved in his own little way. So it psychs you up. And he was always one of the most exciting players to play against because he always cared. At 100% all the time. Jim Courier obviously is a few years younger than me. We played enough tennis against one another. We've become pretty good friends, I feel. We have sort of the same sense of humor when we're playing against one another, and not similar games really, but we did win pretty much the same tournaments. He won a couple of the French and French Opens, I won and a couple of the Australian Opens, which I did as well. So I think we've sort of traveled the same path. He always goes to Australian Open to commentate, so do I, and I think that match is tough, but I feel like I have a decent chance in both of them, and it's just one set, so I think get a bit lucky, play well in the beginning, you have a good shot at anyone.
Yeah, that's right, it's only best of one, that's true. The last question I wanted to ask, a little more Pro Tour centered and really specific to Swedish tennis, actually, because I think, you know, since the past few years, the past decade, you had Thomas Johansson winning that Australian Open, and you had surges, you know, once by Joakim Johansson, and of course, Robin Söderling, I think more people would remember. He's still out with injury. Yeah, do you have any sort of insight as to what may be coming up next for, I guess, the Swedish men? Because it's definitely not on the radar, I think, very clearly, but, you know, maybe you have some thoughts on that.
Yeah, I do have thoughts on that. I mean, I think that you can look at Sweden. You can look at a lot of countries, I think, in the Western world where being an individual athlete is not necessarily something that I think parents want kids to be. I think we're very concerned about social skills, getting a good education, being a responsible citizen of society, and or play in a team format where you're getting helped by teammates, and losing and winning is not as big a deal as it is in tennis. So I think we struggle with that in the Western world in general. I don't think the kids have the same hunger as they do, let's say, coming out of Russia, coming out of some of the Eastern European countries, and also Asia these days. But at the same time, I think it also goes in cycles. I think we might not have the same hunger for winning and competing anymore in the Western world, but I think we have the technology and the knowledge of bringing out more complete tennis players. And I think you see that with an Andy Murray is extremely complete, Roger Federer is extremely complete. And I think that's the route we have to go. I think Sweden, it will come back. It will never be the same as it was, I think, in the 80s and part of the 90s. But yes, we do need Robin Söderling back, and I think he'll inspire the kids to keep going. We do have great juniors, especially boys that are sort of 14, 15, 16, 17-year-olds. So I think that, you know, another superstar will come from Sweden over the next 10 years. I'm pretty convinced.
All right. And, Mats, once again, you know, thank you for coming on. I want to just repeat that Mats will be playing the Champions Challenge. That's Friday, November 9th in Tampa, and also Saturday, November 10th in Orlando, the Champions Shootout. So check him out there along with Michael Chang, Jim Courier, John McEnroe. So, Mats, thanks again for doing this, and hope to talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you, Ed. I appreciate being on, and I appreciate anyone that's interested in the game like you are. So thanks.
Of course. We'll talk to you soon.
You've been enjoying Tennis.com's weekly podcast. Thanks for listening. For all the latest news and events, head over to Tennis.com.